The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Delighted having you here on Wheels Up Wednesday, and we're turning our wheels and heading them up to Josephine County. And we have Richard Emmons, who is the publisher and the editor of the Oregon Eagle. Richard, it's a pleasure having you back on. Morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Bill.
Interesting results last night with the John West recall. I always knew that that was a possibility. I was kind of surprised with the results. I thought I thought that there was going to be a little more, as I term it, I think this was a battle between Team Common Sense and Team Hissy Fit, as I termed it. Some people get angry when I say that, but that's just my opinion. I've not been a fan of any of the recall efforts here in Southern Oregon for a while, and I've not been a fan of this one either, but what ended up happening, do you think, given you're, you know, plugged into, you know, the folks in the neighborhood, so to speak? What are you thinking?
Well, I think the people that masterminded the recall effort, they know what they're doing. They, you know, they timed the election to happen after the general election, you know, during Christmas and so forth. And voter turnout was very low. So the people that have an axe to grind with John West for whatever reason, doesn't really matter. Could have been a business deal 20 years ago. I have no idea. But they had an incentive to get out and vote, and the majority of the people, the majority of the Republicans, just sat it out. And so he lost.
Yeah, and that saddened me to see that low turnout once again, because that's the challenge when you have these low turnout elections, is that a smaller number of people in the overall population, though, but if they have an axe to grind or if there is an agenda, they're motivated, right? And a motivated voter is better than someone that's sitting back and going like, oh, there's a recall. And I think there's a little bit of that going on in Southern Oregon, really.
I totally agree. And what most people don't realize with election math, the way it works, and it really shows how your vote really does make a difference, is that if you have 31% voter turnout, which is what it was, and let's just say that the yes 1-2 to 1, mm-hmm. might be, it's a little less than that, but that means that 20% of the voters voted to recall John West, and then 10 or 11% voted against the recall. So only 20% was the majority rule. So it wasn't like this, you know, two thirds of the voters that voted, but it only took 20% to turn out and to support the recall to defeat, you know, John West in this recall election.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly like it was a huge percentage of the population, but that's just the way it is. Interestingly enough, though, today, 9 o'clock, there's going to be a hearing because the lawsuit that John West ended up filing against the Josephine County clerk, that's moving forward from what I understand. You hearing anything about that?
Yeah, I'll be there. You know, he's going to get his day in court. You know, I've read the law that relates to this, and it's similar to the library district part, which was part of this recall effort, in that, you know, the library district only covers about half the population of Josephine County, so mm-hmm. people outside the library district can annex in, but the law also allows to get the vehicle property removed. Well, the law on the signature verification, it says both things. It does say that a petition has to have 100% of the required numbers of signatures to be verified.
But they only counted 10% because that seems to have been the accepted thing. You know, we'll check 10% or so of your signatures, and we're figuring that the rest of them are okay, right? That's kind of the way the system has been working for a while.
Yeah, that's the way the system's been working. So the law itself, I mean, depending how you read it, you know, it contradicts itself, so we'll see what the judge has to say. It's one of those things where, you know, recall efforts, it's, you know, I've really soured on them myself, you know, and I've supported some in the past, opposed some in the past, but now I'm like, unless somebody has done something that's like they have been convicted of a crime, and in this case they threw around the word that John West has done things unlawfully. But, you know, as you pointed out, he does everything by the board, mm-hmm. and it's not just him. And then second of all of these allegations that are made at the state, you know, through these ethics, you know, complaints, they're not holding up, but, you know, and there's no penalty.
But they end up being used then as fodder to non-thinking individuals. Oh, look at all those ethics investigations. Yeah, they're unfounded. Nothing has happened. But the accusation ends up being the crime in many people's minds, unfortunately. But, you know, hey, people's votes are their own. And also, shame on people that didn't come out and vote, that just didn't think it was all that important. But I don't know. It's I think the part, and I mentioned this when I first came on, Richard. Richard Emmons, by the way, is a publisher and an editor of the Oregon Eagle. And it's the part that bothered me is I understand that anybody that gets to any kind of prominence in a community has probably made some friends and also probably made some enemies. And I get that. And politics is a blood sport. No problem. We understand that's how that goes. Feelings get hurt. And you cut me a bad deal 20 years ago, and man, I'm going to get even with you now. But my challenge is when I looked at the petition right from the very beginning, even if you dislike John West and you want him out there, in my opinion, the recall petition itself started off with lies or distorted half-truths. I mean, did you do analysis on that, on the Oregon Eagle, by chance?
Oh, well, I did, and that's another, you know, the old saying, you throw enough spaghetti up against the wall, some of it might stick.
And my thing is that if you're willing to lie about some things, why should I have been believing the rest of it? And that was the position that I took on this one. It's like, all right, you don't like John. I get that. Okay. There's a lot of things that we can dislike about John West, I suppose, too. But when you're doing recall petitions and there's stuff that's just, provable falsehoods, that kind of bothers me. And it didn't get a lot of play, in my opinion.
I totally agree with you. And even if they were mistaken when they filed it, then as the truth comes out, they should have corrected their website. They could have corrected the petition. You know, it allows them to change it, you know, after they filed it, they can amend it. If things come out that they find out, oh, that wasn't true. But they threw out six different allegations, and they had like sub allegations between each of them in some cases. So that's why it took like 2-hour video interviews for Lily Morgan and Jay Meredith to go through them and try to explain it. And then, you know, John would get on and it would take an hour and a half or 2 hours to go through them and try to counter the arguments. It's just too much information. It was just too much for the average person to figure out. And I think many of them, they just shut it out.
Well, there must have been something to it, or else they wouldn't be making the accusations, right?
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. You know, there's a lot of smoke. There must be fire, but sometimes it's just a lot of fog. And unfortunately, if that's what people, you know, base their voting or their non-voting on, then that's what we're left with. The reality is that, you know, united we stand, divided we fall. If we want to elect limited government, you know, politicians to protect, you know, our freedoms and hold down taxes and to try to get rid of wasteful spending in government, the taxpayers pay for, you know, all the wasteful spending. We see it in our property tax bills. You want to be able to recruit and elect individuals like John West. He was 2 years through a 4-year term, and you give him 4 years, or any county commissioner that wants to come in and change the status quo. You have to make hard decisions, and you have to give them the time to see how they work out. And if people don't like the results, well, then he would get voted out. And if they like the results, then they're like, you know, that was hard. It's like surgery when they remove an organ or something. It's very painful and you have to go through recovery, but you're glad that cancer was removed because now you're surviving and thriving. And that's the way it is in most county governments. You know, the fact that there is wasteful spending, there's unnecessary overhead, there's just tradition of what has gone on. And if you try to get in and, you know, with as a part of the board, try to root that out and try to reduce it, you step on a lot of toes and you get people upset. And
from your observation,
yeah, vote.
From your observation, what role might a certain percentage of Josephine County employees have played in this one, because there have been some rice bowls broken, combining of departments, because the money fountain is over there from the federal government. And Herman has been talking with me about that for a number of months, that all that COVID funding, which has padded a lot of local governments, is gone now. Is gone now, and revenue is not keeping up due to the inflationary pressures on the budget, just to keep what you have. What do you think?
I totally agree. The money's gone, but families are squeezed too. You know, the idea that, you know, they want 8% pay raises and step raises and all the union protections, it all costs money. I mean, I'm not against unions in principle. Mm-hmm. You know, I like UPS, I like FedEx, I like the U.S. Postal Service, and now Amazon Prime has its own delivery trucks. But there's competition there, and unfortunately, in the public sector, there isn't competition. So the unions in Oregon just carry tremendous power. And, I mean, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, you know, 90 years ago, he was against public sector unions for this very reason. And this is part of the problems in county government. And it just, over time, a county like Josephine County, they don't have the revenue base that they used to have. 70% of the land is federal, state, or locally owned. It's not open for development. Of the 30%, about half of that is owned by nonprofits that don't pay, or forest land that don't pay property tax, so they pay very minimal. So, you know, the property tax lands on just 8.5% of the acreage in Josephine County. So, there's, you know, without that federal timber money from all that federal land, it's really, really, really tough to make it fiscally for the county.
Richard, when it comes to one of the big bones of contention was bad faith negotiations in the Pipe Fork property sale, and threatening and jeopardizing a Williams community water source. I called BS on this whole thing. When you interviewed all of the people, the particulars involved in this, what were the claim? You know, what facts were the claimants, the people that were trying to do the recall, based on what John West actually did as a board member? Could you comment on that?
This is another one that, it's like bad faith negotiations. You could say that by the Board of Commissioners, but mm-hmm. It started 4 years ago, and John West wasn't a commissioner 4 years ago. He became a commissioner 2 years ago.
In the middle of the process, I guess, right?
In the middle of the process, and in the beginning of the process, and you know, he does his research. He does his homework.
I remember people were sending me letters and saying John West has property there. That's why he doesn't want to do this, or he wants to do this or something. And I could tell them, listen, guys, this is not true. But it's like the lies continue to move forward without any real check on the mainstream, at least, I guess.
Correct. I mean, that's a perfect example of something that they could have corrected on their website. And they're still, I mean, they put out a 13-page supporting document, so they could have amended that to just keep it up to date with once the facts come out. But they chose not to do that. But Pipe Fork, I mean, I put an article on the OregonEagle.com website yesterday that shows the Pipe Fork property from the catalog of the various properties that Josephine County put up for auction. And when you look at this vast ocean of trees, there's this little white, you know, square or rectangle that is the Pipe Fork property of that timberland, which is owned by the county. And you just see that it's in an ocean of trees. It's subject to the beetle infestations. It's at risk of wildfire danger. And the idea of that, affecting the water supply of Williams. I mean, that was proven false, you know, by the water master. And it just, there's a lot of trust that goes into what you read. I mean, I was very, it bothered me. I mean, I know people have the First Amendment, but to see the advertisements that characterize this as John West as being cruel and corrupt, I mean, that's a corruption of the English language. I mean, cruel? I mean, give me a break. It's overheated rhetoric, and they're destroying a man's reputation who didn't have to run for office. He'd been a successful businessman for over 30 years, and it's really a disincentive for people like John West to say, you know, I want to, you know, run for office, and I want to try to bring my business expertise to government and try to, you know, represent the people that elect you. If they don't like your message, they won't elect you. And then do that hard work, because mm-hmm. it is hard work to try to change the status quo at any level of government.
Richard Evans from the Oregon Eagle. Richard, hang on just a second here. Might take some calls after this and questions or comments, but it's a big deal here in Southern Oregon to have a commissioner recall. Doesn't happen very often, and one happened in Josephine County. You're on the Bill Myers Show, KMED, KBXG.
As you travel during the holidays to visit family and friends,
Christmas, everyone.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Got something on your mind? Give Bill a shout at 541-770-5633. 770-KMED.
I'm talking with Richard Emmons, the editor and publisher of the Oregon Eagle, and we're discussing the aftermath of the recall vote. Wasn't even close, really, with Commissioner John West in Josephine County. Steve's in Sunny Valley. Steve, you're with Richard Emmons. Comment? Question? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just think that off-time elections favor the commies, because all they care about is government. Government is their god. And the useful idiots that help the commies, like Liz Cheney and Lily Morgan, are not helping freedom at all. Yeah, I think that it should have taken as many or more votes to get rid of West as West got to get in. Otherwise, let the election stand and let our elected representatives serve us. Because getting him out early is really just disenfranchising everybody who voted for him the first time.
All right, Steve, I appreciate the call. Richard, any comment on that?
Well, what he brings to mind is the fact in the old days, you had to have a double majority to pass school bonds and other things. You had to have at least 50% of the people vote, and then have at least 50% vote yes.
And that ended up going away, right? That got trounced by the courts.
Yes, it did. So, you know, it would take something like that to try to reform this process, because with 31%, turnout, you need 50% plus one of 31%. So you only need about 17% or less, 16%.
Yeah, to make it happen, sure. Let me go to Mark. Hello, Mark. Mark Seligman, you're on with Richard Emmons, publisher of the Oregon Eagle.
Hi, Richard. This is Mark Seligman.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Mark.
Tell me if you agree with this. John West was for less government, less regulations, less taxes, helping the county use its money better, so that taxes wouldn't have to be raised and fees wouldn't have to be raised. It was a compassionate view. The people that are for the recall are people that want the opposite of what he wants, and so they personalized it and they got him out. The eventual goal here is to have these two new commissioners pick someone more to the liking of Pat Fahey, Colleen Martin, Lily Morgan, and the eventual goal is to get rid of Barnett and Smith if they don't agree, and some way, somehow get Lily Morgan and these others in as commissioner and county manager. So it's like, and again, pay the taxes, pay the more regulations, lose your private property rights. What do you think of that?
It's certainly plausible. I mean, I know that when the sheriff's district, you know, the 99 cents showed up on the property tax returns for the first time, and they had people, you know, showing up at the assessor's office, you know, banging on the glass window, and they had to bring down extra security. Families are hot. Their budgets are so stretched. So the idea of a higher property tax, they don't want that. And what John West and the other commissioners now are trying to do is to make the government more efficient now,
right,
before next year, when money could get very tight. It's like, if a family knows that the breadwinner is going to get laid off in a year, we start to tighten the budget today to cut your expense line so you're prepared for when he goes on unemployment, you know, that kind of thing.
All right. Mark, I appreciate the call. Thank you. 770-5633. We'll grab one more. I have time, maybe one more call. Richard Emmons has been involved in interviewing all sides on this situation in the Oregon Eagle. Hello, who's this? Good morning.
This is Miner Dave. I wanted to ask, was the Chamber of Commerce involved in it? Because that's how they got rid of Sandy Cassinelli when they recalled her.
Boy, I forgot about that. That was years ago, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Richard? Any thoughts on that?
I don't know. I don't know anything about that. Yeah, I can't. I don't have any comment on that.
No. Yeah. I think that was kind of before your time, but I appreciate the call there. Thank you, Dave. Well, Richard, very interesting. I have a feeling that Oregon Eagle is going to be writing a lot on this issue over the next few days. I'll be curious to see, though. You're going to be in the courthouse this morning, though, when the John West lawsuit goes before the judge, right? Be reporting on that?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then there's one more lawsuit related to all this, is because the petition form, you know, says that supplying false information can result in a felony with a fine up to $125,000 or 5 years in prison. And John West has filed a lawsuit against the chief petitioner, Lily Morgan, on that basis. So that's something else that's going to, you know, fall out, because if there was false information supplied, she could be held liable. And again, that's going to be up to the courts.
Yeah, all in the courts at this point. Richard, there's something that you wrote me the other day that I thought was actually sensible, because people have not been, a lot of folks in Southern Oregon, I've not been real happy with vote by mail. I didn't vote for vote by mail back when it was brought up for the electorate. I didn't like it, but I didn't think it was a good idea. Needless to say, this is what we're living with. You have a proposal that, all right, you get rid of vote by mail, not using the mail any longer. But what was one of your ideas? I thought it was actually thought-provoking on this. What do you think?
It was just the idea, you know, reminding people to vote, you know, and find a drop box. So the idea of vote by drop box would allow people to get their ballots mailed to them. They fill them out, and then they drop it in the drop box rather than in the mailbox. Because right now, you know, as well known, Southern Oregon, our mail goes up to Portland, and then it comes to get postmarked, and then it gets shipped back down to Josephine County, Jackson County, and so forth. And the idea would be to have a ballot initiative. However, I spoke with Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bertschiger about this after I put out my idea, and he said that that would require a referendum passed by the state legislature, because they put this before the people to put in a vote by mail, because under the Constitution, that falls under the legislature to decide how we vote. So I still agree, you know, with the idea that it's a better way to vote is to put it in the drop box. But we would need to change the legislature up in Salem before something like this could be put before the voters.
Kind of a high bar, in truth. All right.
Yeah.
Richard Emmons, we appreciate your take and analysis. Thanks so much for joining us from Oregon Eagle, OregonEagle.com. All right.
Bill. You have a great day.
Thank you. 744. We'll catch up on the rest coming up. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
Hi, I'm Deb with Father and Son Jewelry, and I'm on KMED.
12 before 8. Let's do some emails of the day. Emails of the day sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. Freeman Way in Central Point, right next to the Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant. It's pretty cool about the place is that if you need, let's say, a special mouthwash, or you want to get a water pick and various other things to take care of your teeth and gums, well, they'll sell those to you. They have a little kiosk there. They'll sell them to you at their wholesale cost. No markup. They want you to be healthy. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. And a lot of people writing about the recall from last night, Jackson and Josephine County, really. Butch writes from Gold Hill, Bill, it's frustrating when people don't show up to vote, but perhaps those same folks don't care and don't know the circumstances. Jackson County is blessed, he says, having Danny Jordan holding the purse strings, but I fear he has too much power. Why weren't we allowed to vote on the new Central Point Convention Center, disguised as the community center, disguised as a pandemic shelter? Well, because it was, because it was grant stream funding coming in, paying for a lot of that, and City of Central Point's also weighing in on that. I think it was more of a city-county partnership. But anyway, Butch continues, next we'll be building an aquatic center to compete for the 2028 LA Olympic swimming competition. Butch, don't give them the idea. I could see Medford Parks and Rec or Jackson County Parks going, oh, man, this is it. This is how we'll all get rich. But anyway, he can close. Then folks can visit the ghost town known as Gold Hill, watch the whitewater competition planned around a 100-yard Class 4 channel in rock. All right, Butch, I appreciate you writing. David Plus writes me about Lily. You know, I'll never be a good politician because I have a tendency to say exactly what I think, which usually winds up getting me on the wrong side of many people, but at least they always know where I stand. I've known Lily almost as long as I have been in Josephine County. When she was on the city council, we had a funeral for one of my parishioners who was a Pearl Harbor survivor. The military sent a squad from Beale Air Force Base in California to perform military honors, including a 21-gun salute. The honors were to be done at the church instead of the cemetery because Gordon's remains were to be sent to his daughter in Texas. When the funeral director called the police to tell them what was going on, we were told that we could not have the firing squad within the city limits, even though they were firing blanks, and that we would be cited and fined if it happened. We could get no dispensation through the city council, even though I appealed to Pastor Weber, who was on the council. He said his hands were tied. Lily got involved after the fact and told me she had got something passed recently to remedy this stupid problem. We became friends from that point. I don't know what has happened. Maybe she has contracted the disease that all politicians seem to catch, the need for power. Whether it is that that has affected her, I'm very disappointed for this recall and the involvement with it. Saw her at an event a couple of months ago, and our conversation was a little strained. I think she might have heard through the grapevine my feelings about the situation. I'll continue to pray for her. I hope we can still be friends. But like I say, very disappointed. You know, David, this is very divisive in the community because this, a lot of hurt feelings in this thing. A lot of stuff said. I don't know if he can unsay a lot of this stuff, but I appreciate your writing, okay? Let's see. Barbara writes, Bill, I'm disappointed the recall was successful. I agree. People don't vote unless it's a big election. So sad. I feel it's my responsibility to vote in all of them. Thanks for all you do. I hope his replacement will address the money problems that we have. Yeah, it's going to be a big deal in Joe County for sure. Gar says about John West, I'm disappointed. Let me see if I get to the right email. There we go. When I read the recall, I was blown away. All of that was typed about John. I would think he could file a big defamation suit against whoever printed those ballots. Well, there are lots of lawsuits flying in both directions on this thing, Gar. It's really something. It's very divisive. But it is, you can make a lot of claims in politics and get away with it, really. But if you know something is absolute, well, I mean, even look at what happened with President Trump. He was able to pierce that veil a little bit with ABC. Of course, that was lots of malice involved in that, and it was repeated time and time again. I don't know if that necessarily works as well at our level. Hard to say. Sam writes, boy, it's sad to see Josephine County voters duped so badly. By the way, Sam lives in Jackson County. Lily was a zero in the county commission, did nothing for us in the Oregon House, and has nothing to offer in any public office moving forward. If that recall had been on the ballot in November, the recall vote would not have happened, given that government on all levels in Oregon is unreliable and the enemy of freedom. The outcome is disappointing, but it is not much of a surprise, as many people just don't see any reason to give a damn. And finally, Betty writes me this morning, Bill, a few days you were talking about some local tribes and you used the word reparations a number of times. Yeah, it had to do with the Siletz tribe purchasing of a lot of private land by the Rogue River. Betty, that's what that was, just to remind people if they weren't around. She says, I think the use of this word in the account of the tribes is wrong. If you'll snoop around online, you will note the difference. The Klamath and Modoc had the treaty back in the day and were cheated out of a huge part of it. And then years passed and they finally got some land and timber back. The U.S. government quoted a dollar figure per tribal member and then never gave that full price to each one. Some of the information is correct, other stuff not so much. I say as long as there is one Klamath/Modoc alive out there, there will be dollars owed to them. If you sell a piece of property or car, you expect full payment immediately. Just another example of how bad the Indians have been treated all along. Betty, I will agree with you, and I wasn't trying to make fun of that, of the real Oregon Trail of Tears, in which we had tribal members that were more or less made to march over a handful of days out to the coastal reservation. In fact, if I recall from the Rogue Valley, it was 300 miles that they were walking to get to this reservation. They were all walking, and it was not a a good aspect of the Rogue Valley history, or of Southern Oregon history in those days, okay? All I was getting at, though, is that we know how it goes. You know, the tribes tend to buy land, and then there's the casino, and I was talking about casino as reparations, but maybe repayment for a deal gone bad, would that be better? Would that be a little more accurate? Just saying, all right? This is the Bill Myers Show. The email, Bill at BillMyersShow.com.
If you have an appliance that's giving you trouble, join us at EasterSeals.com.
It's the Bill Myers Show on KMED, Southern Oregon's place to talk.
All right, we've had a lot of heavy news this morning, a lot of conversation, recalls and cars and all the rest of it. We actually have a little more car conversation coming up here and a bit of open phone time on Wheels Up Wednesday. They'll be coming up probably around 8:30 or so. If you had something on your mind, we'll be taking that on. We need a dad joke, a little palate cleanser, what's been going on with all the recall talk. And the dad joke of the day is sponsored by Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. If you have a better joke, go to twodogsfab.com, send it, and maybe Anne-Marie will send it to me. And by the way, over at Two Dogs, they have a new line of Horizon heavy-duty equipment trailers. Just beautiful, beautiful. 10, 12, 14, 20-foot lengths, sharp-looking all black, two-tone black and gray. They are experts at metal fabrication, work and dump trailers, truck flatbeds and utility boxes. They could build the wall if they were tasked with something like that. If you wanted to build the wall down the border, yeah, they're out there with their welders and the crew. Anyway, twodogsfab.com. And today's dad joke, once again, we've got, we have Doug, who's always doing, he's like the jokester of our listeners here. The new dad joke of the day, my wife asked me to share what I learned at the self-help seminar, and I told her the point was stressed how important it is for people to embrace their mistakes. She took a deep breath and hugged me. I love that, Doug. That's good stuff. TwoDogsFab.com. Shave before 8. KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford. KBXG Grants Pass is where you are. We'll catch up with Town Hall News in just a moment, getting back on track. And the United Postal Service reaching a milestone the other day, 5 billionth piece of mail this year. However, $10 billion still trying to transition to electric mail trucks. They're still trying to do that. The Trump transition team is trying to cancel the electric mail truck push. Should they do it? I'm going to talk with the CEO involved in the energy world from Texas. He thinks they should be able to cancel it, but we'll find out why. You know, of all the things out there when it comes to electric vehicles, I could see electric mail trucks actually being not too bad. I mean, they go back to the same place every day. Being plugged in is not that big of a problem. They don't do tons and tons of miles each way. But we'll talk about this, kick it around. Trump team trying to get rid of that, all coming up.
An intelligent solution saves.